Hey, everybody, before we get into this week's show, I want to let you know that this is a different show this week. You see, I had my daughter this past week, and my family...
Well, his wife had their daughter this week. Tony had absolutely nothing to do with it other than standing
there.
That's true.
Oh,
That's true.
Yeah, let's
like
be
when
honest.
I was a kid.
Truth in advertising.
When I was a kid and I didn't have anybody to play with, instead of saying, I'm going to go and play with my toys, I'd say, I'm going to go play with myself.
Yes, you did.
And you'd
all
be
the
like,
time.
No, you're not going to go play with yourself. You're going to go play by yourself.
Yes.
That's so funny. Anyways, so my brother decided to come down to the studio last night with me and my dad, and we just kind of hung out and talked while we were recording. And that is what you're going to hear today. We're going to talk about some of the industry stuff, some stories, but it's going to be three guys, my brother, my dad. We're all going to be sitting around just chit-chatting and talking. But I just want to let you know that it is a little bit of a different show this week, but the same thing applies as every show. If you have a story that you want to share on the show, if you want to chop it up with us and record with us on the show, just shoot us an email, hammerlanelegends@gmail.com, or go to the website, hammerlanelegends.com, hit the contact section, and you can reach us that way as well. And if you're looking for emergency preparedness food, go to preparewithhll.com, because if you're on the road and you're in the truck a lot, you know things happen unexpectedly, and maybe you should have some emergency supplies there. Not to mention, if a tornado hits your house, you want to be able to feed your family in the rubble.
That's probably a good point.
Yeah, let's get to the show.
He put it in park, threw open the driver's door, ran out the side of the car, across the front of it, and jumped right off the side of the bridge in front of me.
The only people who really pulled over were truckers.
He said, we're going Hodge, and he didn't slow down. He went across the median onto the oncoming traffic, but where they could see him coming, they just got out of the way.
I noticed his plane was really low. He went right in front of us, hit the fence, and it spun around. You know, 30 seconds more, he could have hit us.
And I went around that truck, and a guy stepped out from behind the truck and threw a piece of wood, and it shot through my window just like a spear and stuck in the back of the cab of my truck.
That's probably one of the stranger things I've seen.
She kept trying to get me through my instant messenger thing. And then, because I thought it was one lady, and it was one lady who was like, it came up with her original picture. One of the ladies that is a Hammerlane Lens, and I was like, how'd she get her picture on it? And then she starts sending me all these freaking messages on instant messenger. Like, so how are you doing? How comes you haven't gotten back to me?
And I'm you just block. The heck you are can you? Block people.
I after about five.
No, let him tell the story without interrupting, and this is getting good.
After about five of these things back and forth, and she's like, are you into girls with dark hair and dark eyes? I'm like, oh, I'm sitting there. Mom's sitting right at the kitchen table with them. I'm like,
you're like, man, I really wish I had that protective screen right now, the privacy screen on my phone right now.
Like, rolling it right in front of his eyes, like, I don't know what
is this girl. I said to Mom, I said, this girl's, I don't know who this is. And I showed Mom, and she's like, oh, I don't know. And I was like, well, I don't know who she is. So
just being honest, hon, I don't
exactly.
know who she is.
I did not go driving with her.
I just unfriended her, and then she kept trying to get back.
You were friends with her?
Well, I friended her because I thought she was a lady from Hammerlane Legends, like one of the fans.
So she had one of our pictures on her profile?
That's weird.
Yeah, that's why I said yeah. That's why I said okay, because anybody who's like I figure is a Hammerlane Legends person, that's who most of the strange people that I don't know, strangers that I don't know, who friend me. And I'm like, okay, you know. So I did. And then I didn't say anything to her. And it's like 2 days later, and then it's, well, why aren't you getting back to me? Why aren't you talking to me? And blah, blah, blah. And then she starts going on about hair color and eye color, and are you into girls?
At least she didn't do anything more.
Here,
people,
click
man.
This link.
Well, then when I did click
fans
on
only.
When I clicked on her, you know, on the, what do you call the picture of them?
Profile.
The avatar or profile pic.
Yeah.
Then all of a sudden this girl comes up, you know, nice looking girl, you know, dark hair girl, younger. I'm like, yeah, right. Here we go. And it's all making sense. I'm sitting there with Mom, and I'm like, I'm unfriending her and I'm blocking her. And I'm like, that's it. I'm done. I don't know who this is. We're out.
She wanted a sugar daddy.
Well, I got to tell a story since we're on this topic, and you know, I want the audience to. Uh oh, it's about you.
Uh oh.
Ha 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 ha!
So here we go.
Yeah, I mean,
here
since we're recording in the audience, what you just shared reminded me of a story. I think I was just married. I was probably like 2 years married, max, and you were looking for a new car,
right?
And you were on Craigslist. This is back when Craigslist.
Oh, yeah.
And so,
talk about ignorant on Craigslist.
Yeah. This is when you were just learning how to use the internet.
What did he click on?
So this is when Craigslist was, you know, the place to go and get cars and look for stuff like that. I mean, there was no Facebook Marketplace. There was no security. You know, people could actually prostitute themselves on there, sell drugs on there, whatever. And Dad comes across a car. It was a Nissan. I think it was like kind of Altima. Like Altima. Yep. And it was like practically brand new. It had like maybe it's like 2 years, 3 years old.
Yep.
And it had very low miles.
Yep.
And the description was like, you know, because it was like, just say
it was
back
like $2,000.
It was all right. It was $2,000.
Okay,
so it was
car.
So dirt cheap. And Dad's like, this is a great deal. And the description was, my husband was overseas, and you know, this was his car, and we're filing hard times, and we just need to get rid of it.
Yep.
And then all you got to do is contact that person, and then you have
and
to send
them the $2,000.
Send them the $2,000, and they would have the car shipped to him.
Yeah.
So that's that's the whole thing. Gosh. They always want to ship the car. Oh, we'll ship the car to you. We'll ship the car to you, right? And so Dad contacts me. He's like, look at this great deal. I was like, Dad, do not. I was like, I think this is what I said. I'm like, Dad, how far did you get in this process?
Oh my gosh.
You know what I did after I talked to you? What? I went back on, I started talking to that person. I said, God's going to deal with you.
Oh, did you really?
Oh my god.
That sounds like something mom would do.
You will be dealt with.
I was so mad at that person for making a fool out of me, but I was like, hey, at least I contacted you.
I'm so glad you did.
Oh my word.
Because
I was ready to go to the bank.
I know.
Ready to walk out the door.
This is such a great deal. I got to get on it now before somebody else does.
Yep.
Little did you know, if you would have paid $2,000, you wouldn't have gotten a car, and that same ad would have been there on the next day.
Yes, exactly.
Oh, man. I couldn't believe it. I was like, Dad, how far did you get in this process? Please tell me you didn't pay for it.
You know what's funny? You know what's actually kind of funny? That actually happened to me too.
Really?
Like almost the exact same scenario. Just I was selling something and they wanted me to ship it to them and they would send me $450 or $600 or something like that.
And let me guess, it was more than what you were asking for.
Yeah, I was only asking for like $100. It was the old Galaxy S 3 that I was selling.
But they wanted you to send it first.
Yeah, he said, send it to me first and I'll wire you the money.
Of course.
I was like, well, I was like, I don't know how to do that. And I was really looking more for local pickup. And he was like, look, we're already into this agreement. Blah. And I was like, no, we're not into this agreement. I didn't really. And I was like, just turned 18. I was like, I don't even know what I'm doing.
I didn't and either. And I was like, in was my like, 40s.
Well, this guy was like, I'm going to call the whatever, like some sort of trade commission or whatever it is. People who are
trade in commission is a private sale, knucklehead.
Like, this is you can't do this to me. I was like, I didn't even tell you that you could have it.
What was it that you were selling?
A phone. Like an old cell phone. I was like,
it probably wasn't an iPhone back then.
No, I didn't use an iPhone then.
I mean, you've heard of Sleepless in Seattle. I was hapless in Shoemakersville. I bleep out my city name.
Too late. It's live, Dad. It's live.
That's the beauty of live.
Hey, Shoemakersville, you know, it's not, it's like a big town. I mean, it's hard to find you once you get
there. Yeah, it's a huge place.
Oh, man.
I mean, you don't even know what state it's in.
Yeah, I mean, it's... Yeah.
It's not like it's in Pennsylvania or anything.
No. No, interesting factoid about Shoemakersville. It has, at least back when I lived there, so that was, 20 years ago now.
Jesus,
you're old, dude. Long.
Oh, wow.
At the time, they had the most millionaires per capita in the United States.
Crazy,
isn't that crazy? I mean, it's because
it's a really tiny town. It's like 1,800
it's,
people.
It's not even 1,800.
No, it is.
Is it really 1,800?
Yeah.
So for 18, they're like, okay, you have 1,800 people. You have a lot of millionaires for only having 1,800 people.
Yeah.
That means even if you have like 10 millionaires, that's almost 1% of the population of the town.
Yeah, seriously. So. You know, I was working in, I bring that up and it reminded me, I worked at Tom Schaefer's RV.
Mm-hmm.
And that's right.
He was one of the millionaires for sure.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you sell one brand new RV and it was like, back then, it was like $500,000.
Right. Yeah.
And
the big
what?
Ones, the big
Mac Daddy ones that all the doctors buy and all that stuff. The ones that they're the ones that people buy to never use.
Yep.
Like they buy it just because they want to say they have an RV, but they don't ever use it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
That's in their driveway, all covered up.
Exactly.
Yep.
Exactly. Or it's in storage, not even on their property.
Right.
And so I worked there and I was detailing during the summertime. And, you know, obviously Tom Schaefer, he was one of those millionaires in Shoemakersville. And that place was a nightmare to work at. And I hated it so much. At going into work as a detailer on an RV, it's not like a car where you wash the outside, you do the inside, you do whatever, vacuum it, you know, wipe it down good or whatever. Like, it's literally washing a trailer on the outside with a brush and house cleaning on the inside.
Yeah, I remember you. Right. I remember you talking about that. You found so many like little things in the RVs.
Well, I stole most of that stuff.
No, because I just remember you being like, here's a pocket knife, Jack. And I was like, oh, cool. Because I'm like three.
I might want to bleep that out.
Hey, listen, it's yeah, I was just, no, I'm sure nobody's.
You said you used to have to get up on the.
What were you saying?
No, you're good. I was just saying you used to tell me you had to get up on the roof, right?
Yeah.
Or like use a ladder at least to get on the side of it or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, they have ladders in the back of them, but then we'd have ladders to get on the sides and all that stuff. And so I there was my first opportunity working in some kind of a shop. And I always, even growing up with Uncle Brian as a mechanic. Now, my uncle, Jack's uncle, by the way, people, we haven't done a proper introduction. We're not going to at this point. But what the third voice you hear here is my brother, Jack.
He's the producer.
He produces the show. So he has a lot of work cut out for him after this one.
Yeah, he certainly does.
But our uncle and my dad's brother-in-law was a mechanic my entire life. And he's one of the best mechanics, hands down, in the United States of America. And that's like factual. Right. He was labeled Nissan's best mechanic in the country when I was a young kid. Then he did it again in, 2005 or something like
something
that?
Something like that, yeah.
And then he did it again with Infiniti, even more recent. And so being just that he's my uncle, I was always like really like, wow, working on cars is cool, you know? And so when I was working at Tom Schaefer's, that was like my first time being in an environment where it was like a shop environment, because even though I was in the detailing section, on both sides of the detailing bay was shops where mechanics were working on RVs and trailers and campers and all that stuff. And so I got to talking with the guys in the shop, and the one guy in the shop was a mechanic. He's like, yeah, I'll teach you how to work on cars and this, that, and the other. And he told me to come out to Reading where he has a little shop. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, cool. You know, this guy owns a little shop in Reading. He'll teach me how to work on cars for free. I was like, this is really cool. So it's like a Tuesday or Wednesday night. He's like, after work, come on out around 8:00. I'm like, all right, cool. So I go out to this place in Reading, and it's like dark out now, you know, and there's one, it's like a one or two car garage in off of an alley. And
safety first.
Yeah, in the hood, like on North 9th Street in Reading, Pennsylvania, and there's something like that. Like, and so I get there, I'm like, okay, and I don't know what to do. I'm a little nervous, shy. I'm like, the idea in my head is like, if we're working on cars, like I don't want to mess anything up. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know what I'm getting into. And so we're there, and some neighborhood people come over, and he's talking with them. They're all just talking, hanging out, and he kind of cracks open the toolbox a little bit, and you know, jacks up a car, then pulls out the beers and starts drinking. And they're talking for an hour, and I'm just kind of sitting there, just pretending like I'm enjoying the conversation, not learning a freaking thing. And I was like, I'm never coming back here again. I'm never coming back here again.
So this is how they work on cars, and
yeah. and so I'd left there like midnight, and he didn't even do anything to the car. And he's like, I'm sorry, man. We got caught up in talking and stuff. Next time we'll work on cars. I'm like, ain't gonna be in next time, bro. Like, I'm not coming back here. I don't like hanging out here to begin with. You know, at that time I hadn't worked in Reading, so I only heard bad things about Reading, which were kind of confirmed when I worked there. But
right.
I mean, hey, those are stories.
Wow, you hadn't even worked at the pretzel factory yet.
No.
Holy
no,
crap.
No, I was working at the garage, or the Tom Schaefer's RV, doing the detailing and getting to know the mechanics there. And so I hated detailing. I absolutely hated detailing. And going into work every day was like, I wanted to shoot myself, because not only did I hate the fact that I was basically cleaning a trailer with a brush on the outside, but then doing house cleaning on used campers, nasty used campers on the inside, I had to deal with my coworkers, which were all middle-aged, older women. And they did not like me.
Karens.
It really was like I was a guy invading their space.
Oh, my gosh. Wow.
And I'm like, there was one lady, and I can't remember any of their names.
But let's just call her Karen.
So there was this one lady who, she was really nice. She was a little... She was a little off. Like, she was, I'm not even gonna lie, she was a little off. Like, there was
too many days smelling clean.
I mean,
fluid,
she was
right?
She was probably mid 60s, and she was like, there was, I mean, she would just randomly just break out in like a little yeehaw dance out of the middle of nowhere. She'd be like, ooh, and she'd just start dancing. And they're like, sometimes there wouldn't even be music playing. I'm like, what is wrong with this lady? You know? So, but she was the nicest one to me, so I kind of became friends with her.
Oh, man.
So her and I are, you know, cool and all, but then there's this other lady who was probably closest to my age. She was probably in her mid 40s. I was in my late teens, early 20s. And she just hated me. She hated my guts. Every time I did something, I was doing it wrong. Get the F out of here. Smoking cigarettes inside the RVs and stuff.
Oh,
and just awful, awful to be around. And then my supervisor, she looked at me like I was this stupid, which I was, but I was just this stupid young male who doesn't know how to do anything, which I didn't. But she really treated me like I was... mentally just a mental head case, you know, like I just didn't understand. And so I was surrounded by all these ladies who hated me, and the one that liked me was kind of crazy, and I was like, I need to get out of here. And so I go to the boss of the place, the manager of it, the whole place, and I forget his name too, and I'm like, I can I work somewhere else here? Working in detailing is not... I said, I was talking to the guys in the body shop, which is another building in the back. And I said, they said that they would be happy to teach me how to do body work. Can I do that? And he said, I would consider doing that, but you would need to drop out of school and work here full time, commit to being here full time if we're going to do that.
Wow.
What?
Yeah. Holy and crap. I was like, maybe.
That's so true. I can totally see that.
I mean, I was like,
can I get this past
Oh my
dad?
Gosh. He's like, yes. How do I do this without dad knowing?
Exactly. That's exactly it. I was like, how yes. can I drop out of school without my old man finding out? You know, like, no, I was like
that was totally like,
right.
Oh my gosh.
And so I was like, let me get back to you on that. Right. And I think I actually went up talking to you about it or something. And it didn't happen because I was obviously, because
right.
this is coming from a guy who said to me when I was working at UPS. Now, I was like months from getting married. I worked at UPS. I started there in like September. I was getting married June the next year. The reason why I started UPS was for the health insurance. I knew I was becoming a young married guy. And they offered to get me, because I was unloading trailers from 4 a.m. to, I think it was 8 a.m. every morning.
Oh, yeah. I remember. That's right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They back a 53 in, and yeah, it's yeah. literally boxes like Dell computers, all like small packages from floor to ceiling, from wall to wall, from nose to back end. Just 53 foot trailer, jam packed. One unloader. You have a belt that comes up to the trailer, and one box on the belt, it goes up to somebody who's scanning, and you just boom, 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 as fast as you can. And it's 4 o'clock in the morning. I'm freaking tired, and I'm going. I'm like, and I'm young, and I was athletic at the time. I was like, not anymore. But I was like, I mean, the years have caught up to me. You know what yeah. I mean? I got a little bit of a gut these days. But I'm going, bang, 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 bang. And they're like, you got to pick it up, Merkel. Pick up the pace, Merkel. Like, I had a supervisor that knew my name. I never saw his face. He just was a voice that echoed through the chambers, that came rolling to the back of the trailer. I'm like, almost done with the first trailer. They want you to do two trailers in 4 hours. And I'm almost done with the first one. I'm like, yeah, I'm doing good. Boom, boom. Pick it up, Merkel. where are you? Like, where are you? I don't even know who you are. Like, I was so scared. It was like 5 o'clock in the morning. I got God's voice speaking to me in a trailer, you know? And so I'm just going and going and going. And they offered for me to give that up. They're like, get this guy off. I'm unloading. And they wanted to train me to become one of those UPS van drivers.
Right.
And I mean, those guys make bank. Like, yep. Today, I don't know back then, but today, they were making a lot back then too, yeah. But it's obviously more today. Today, they're making $40 an hour. Yep. Like Monday morning, first hour, $40 an hour.
Right.
Bank. So I go home and I'm like, Dad, they want to train me to become a driver. And he says, and I quote, do not become a driver because you'll drop out of school and become a truck driver for the rest of your life. Mm. What did I do?
Dropped out of school, became a truck driver for the rest
only
of
I'm
life.
Making more than $10 an hour less than what I could be making if I would have went with UPS. And I know I would have been killing myself physically, but I wouldn't have known any better. I wouldn't have had the trailer life. I wouldn't have known. All I would have known is hustle, 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 making bank, bank, bank. But no, Dad says you'll drop out of college and become a truck driver. And that's exactly what I did for the same company he drives for.
But look at the opportunities that has opened up to you.
True, true. We wouldn't have this show.
Yep.
So,
and you wouldn't have that other show.
Yeah, that other show.
Oh, yeah. Wait,
so that, did Dad tell you this?
Yeah, yeah.
Dad says that I say
my other show.
Yeah, Dad says that.
you forget I listen to these every week, yeah, so I hear that every week.
Because I don't want to, like, I think, I'm like, all right, so I'm thinking to myself, I'm being more humble that way. I'll be like, because if it's like something in conversation, instead of saying the confessionals and passing, like somebody should just automatically know the confessionals is my other show. I say, I have another show or my other show. And I don't want to be like, my other show, the confessionals. So go check it out if you're a new listener to Hammerlite Legends. So I just, you know, I don't know. Anyway.
I love how you stumble all over yourself for that one.
You guys are razzing me too much. So I do this whole shindig at UPS. Doesn't go anywhere, but I did run it by Dad there. So at Tom Schaefer's, I don't know if I remember, if I don't know if I ran it by you or not, Dad, but I was like, there is no way, because this is before I was even engaged. I was like, there's no way Dad's going to just, okay, you want to drop out of college and become a body shop guy on RVs in Shoemakersville? Sounds good, son.
Yeah.
You know?
Promising future.
Yeah. But the thing is, I didn't know what else to do with my life. Like, I really didn't. I mean, I was young. I had no idea where I was going in life. I had this inner gut feeling that what I was doing, studying at a Christian Bible college for ministry, it just wasn't going to work. Like, I wasn't doing the studies because I wasn't that interested.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And on top of it, like, I saw the people who were graduating from there. I saw what the lifestyle was supposed to be as far as like serving people. And, you know, I was like, I can't do it. I don't have the kind of patience that when little Susie calls me at 1 o'clock in the morning saying, Pastor Tony, can you pray for my goldfish that died? No, don't ever call me again. I'm sorry. I don't have that kind of patience. Pastor, great message today, but no, but it was a great message. Shut up.
Enjoy.
You know? So
pass the plate.
Yeah. Pass the plate and shut up. I have more of a business mindset, so I don't know if I would have been a great pastor. I've been like, how can we grow this piece?
Gee.
How can I grow this thing into a mega metropolis that can make me some bank?
Look, our numbers are showing that we had a increase of 20% last month. We need to make that happen. We need to get that up there 40%.
Right.
I don't like what's happening here. Keep it going.
Yeah, I'm like, okay, I saw 5 more empty seats than last week. What can we do to fill these seats up? Because time is money and seats are money. Let's go. You know, like, I'm selling tickets to a carnival.
Oh, Lord, forgive these guys.
I knew I wasn't meant to be a pastor. Like, I knew I wasn't cut out for it. I just wasn't.
That's true.
And yeah, I mean, so in all honesty, I'm really glad that things kind of went the way they went. Yeah. I really am, because in the moment, it really feels bad. You know, like, Jack, you're 25, and I'm sure you're not exactly where you want to be in life. Now, granted, you did just get your own place, which is pretty cool. Shout out to you and the fellas, you know, getting your place there. But, you know, in the moment, it doesn't feel good. It feels like, you know, you're a lost cause. You don't know where you're going in life. But in those moments, if you just buckle down and take the moment that's at hand and force it to correct itself and try.
Right.
And put yourself in, if you're in, let's think of it this way. If you're in a position where you are uncomfortable, you don't like your situation, the only answer to that is to do something else that makes you feel uncomfortable to reverse the uncomfortable feeling you have right now. So if, like, you're not, if you're not happy with your life, I know you're confused.
That sounded really metaphysical. I'm not sure.
If you're not happy.
I'm not tracking.
So, all right. So here's the thing. So for instance, this is me. I didn't know what I wanted to do with my life. Mm-hmm. I had no idea where I was going. And I found myself, because of that, in a place where I was, I had no direction. I didn't know what was going on. I found myself in a place where I was at dead end jobs because I just had nothing. I had no idea what I was supposed to do with my life.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when you graduate high school, they're like, what, go to college, get a good job, or get a degree, get a good job. That doesn't work anymore.
Nope.
It doesn't work anymore. And it was starting not to work when I went to college. I had no idea what to do with my life.
And also,
and so, 1 second before you finish, remember that thought. So when you're in that moment, it's really uncomfortable. It's upsetting. You're directionless. And the only way to get out of that is to take on, because you have no direction anyways, you have no idea what you're doing. The way to get out of that is to take on more uncomfortable feelings, step outside of your comfort zone, and just force yourself to do something that you don't feel comfortable doing, but you know that at least gives you a direction. And so for me, getting my CDL, I you should have saw me. When I got my CDL doing the school bus driving, that was my first time driving CDL, I was like, how do I stop this? Like, the air brakes. I was like, this is weird. I was like, I don't know if I can do this. Like, it's a freaking school bus.
Right.
But in the moment, it was all new to me. It was making me uncomfortable. And I was like, I don't know if I can do this. But because I forced myself in that moment to do something that made me feel uncomfortable, because I had no direction anyways, I had nothing going for me. From there, I got a straight truck driving job, which was cake because the straight trucks are shorter than the school buses. Mm-hmm. And then I started training, or I got the Pitt, Ohio job. They taught me how to drive trailer. I became a truck driver. I'm in the truck all day by myself. And what happens when you're by yourself all the time? You think.
Or you fall asleep.
You have two choices.
Well, I wouldn't be driving truck anymore if I fell asleep.
Yeah, yeah.
But I mean, you think about things and you get ideas. This show was born out of me being bored in a truck driving down the highway. And so it all came full circle because I put myself in an uncomfortable situation because I had no direction in life. What were you going to say?
Oh, no. I mean, I was just going to say, when it goes with like college, not everybody is really, you know, kind of cut out for that situation. Like, we've talked about that before because I did the same thing.
Yeah.
Only I did it for a much shorter amount of time. I went to college for 1 year.
Much further away.
Yeah, much further away. But it just didn't, you know, it wasn't, I was not cut out for college. But, I mean, when you get hands-on, different people have a little bit more of a mentality to work and to kind of just get into the workforce. So I think that that's where you were at. And you've always been that kind of person to just be, go at something. If you're going to do it, especially if it's something that you kind of just, you feel like you have to do, you know, you did go to college and you did go, you know, as much as you could. And then you ended up like,
as much as I could, as much as I wanted to.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm trying to give you some credit.
He studied
here,
as much
okay?
as his wife would let him, or as much as his wife would study for him.
For me. I mean,
that's an accurate statement.
She would be the one telling me I have a paper due the next day. And I'd be like, really?
Can you write it for me?
And she'd be like, yes. Did you start it? No. And then then like a couple hours will go by. It's like 9 o'clock at night. And she'd be like, what are you going to do about the paper tomorrow? I don't know. I'll probably just take a zero. I'd wake up in the morning and I have a paper written for me in my email.
This is where I would have loved to have a Lindsay for me because here's the thing. I could only miss a certain amount of classes. Like, you weren't allowed to miss more than like 6 classes. I missed every one. So, I mean, I was out within the first 6. So,
first 6 days of college, he was done.
He was done. Yeah.
Oh, man. You mean I can't sleep till noon? Like, what is this?
This is not like the movies. And you were going to school in Minneapolis, and that place is a hellhole now.
Yeah.
And that was a long ride to get there.
Yeah, it was a long ride.
What, do you feel like that was a waste of time, Dan?
No, you got to see the country. You got to go out west.
Yeah,
it was
great.
So good. 21 hours straight. You did it, Dad.
Yay.
Yep.
Amazing.
That was fun.
Look, anytime you learn something from a situation that you go through, if you learn something from it, it wasn't a waste.
Yeah.
And that's true.
Yeah.
If you've learned something, even if you failed at it, if it didn't work out, if you walk away a better person, smarter than you were when you went, it wasn't bad.
It was expensive. You think I learned something?
It was expensive.
It is an expensive. It's still.
But it wasn't bad.
It's one that's still there. Oh, man.
Oh, my gosh. Well, let me just inform the audience now that we're probably like 40 minutes into this. We had birthdays at my house today. It's Jack's birthday today, September 5th. And my sister Tanya is turning the big 3-0
next Sunday.
On next Sunday, the 13th. And my mom's birthday is mom's the 20th or 21st?
20th.
Yeah. And Zach Winters is 21st then.
Yeah.
Because because I grew up with Zach and his was right like the day after, day before, I could never remember my mom's birthday. Just kind of like how I can't remember how to spell my middle name.
Yeah. Which is really sad.
It is sad. It really, you're not going to hear it. Listen. It's sad. And mom told me the other name she was thinking about naming me. I was like, why didn't you just go with that? That's so much better. I forget what it was now.
I don't know.
I don't understand your issue with Brendan, though.
That's
not bad.
It's a stupid middle name. And I can't remember.
Why is that a stupid middle name?
Because I can't remember how to spell it. And that's not that I can't remember how to spell it. I can't remember my middle name to spell it. I can't remember if it's Brendan. I don't know what my middle name is.
Dude, that's just like.
And the audience has just figured out what happened at college.
Oh, yeah.
He's 18 years old and can't figure out what his middle name is, and he's in college.
It's like on Rogan's show with Alex Jones, Jack. Wait. You got to understand something. I'm a little retarded. So we decided to come down here to the studio and just kind of chop it up and talk and stuff. And we're going to put this out as a show. But guys, that was some of my long-winded stories of, you know, life, I guess, really.
Right.
But I wanted to have Jack, because when I shot you guys a text message today, and I said you guys want to record tonight, and I think you said yeah. I don't think you answered.
Nope.
But that's more like if
that.
Dad's going and I'm suggesting it, you don't have a choice.
Pretty much.
He's hanging out.
Yeah, but and I know you don't like being behind the microphone. I know that, but I wanted you to share with people your. I don't know if it was your first accident. Did you ever have more than one accident? Let me ask you that question.
Yes.
Okay. So. The worst accident you ever had,
yep.
I know we're on the same page with that one. Was that your first one?
No, that was my last one.
How many accidents have you had?
Three.
And you just turned 25?
Yeah.
Holy crap.
They say your average is three in a lifetime. I've gotten all of them out.
You better hit a hot streak, bro. You better hit a hot streak.
For the next 40 years.
What happened on your first one?
The first one was just it was that one in the Taco Bell parking lot. I literally just got my license.
That's right.
Yeah, I just got my license, and I went. I was coming from work.
That's right.
I was coming from work. Okay. This isn't that funny.
He didn't even leave work. He wasn't coming from work.
No.
Parking lot. Work.
No.
What was the name of the road you're on? Parking lot.
Taco Bell Drive.
No, you guys are wrong. I did leave work because how the hell else was I going to get Tanya? So I got Tanya from her boyfriend's house. She wanted Taco Bell. And so we went back to Taco Bell to get food for her. And literally
you drove a tenth of a mile.
Yes. I left the parking lot to turn around and go right back into the parking lot. So we went and got the food. I was going out of the drive-thru. And because I'm a conscientious employee and I wanted to make sure I wasn't littering, I threw a cup in the trash can as I was driving by it. But I wanted to make sure it didn't fall out. So I turned my head. And
the steering wheel.
And the steering wheel. And went right into the light pole.
How stupid did you feel?
Pretty dumb.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Sister's head went into the windshield.
Oh, that's right. Did she crack it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jeez, how fast were you going through the parking lot?
Tanya wasn't buckled up. So
how fast were you going through the parking lot?
It wasn't fast. It was literally within 20 feet from the sidewalk that I threw the cup away.
And may I say, he was driving his mother's car.
Yeah.
What car was that?
The Sonata.
The Sonata.
Oh, that's right. That's right. The Sonata.
Yep.
So what was your second one? That first one, though. All right. So we could have had a really bad accident when you were young and I was driving. And I had just got my license. And common denominator, just got your license. Mm. And I was working at Burger King.
Yeah.
And I don't remember why you were with me, but you were with me. And I left that parking lot to hit 61. And this was when they were building Cabela's across there in Hamburg. And they're just starting it. And I was like planning on quitting Burger King, because as soon as they said, because we were hearing there's development going to happen over there. And as soon as they said Cabela's, I quit. I wasn't going to stick around. Listen, I like doing Burger King in a small little town with a lot of little people much traffic. My fast time is still like, you know, 5 burgers an hour. You know, I'm not doing this when Cabela's is here, you know. So, yeah. But you and me were leaving there, and I had a friend in high school who had a Ford Probe.
I remember this now. You say, oh my gosh.
And he pulls up, and I was in your Nissan Sentra.
The white one. I remember that, John.
And did you say John?
Yeah, that's what they're called.
That's what they're called in Philly. Let me break it down here, okay? Because anybody who's listening and dad's looking at me like I have 5 heads. So he doesn't understand. The Philly area uses the word John, JAWN. When they're talking about something. So like the microphone that you have right there, Dad, if I wanted to say, that John is sweet. That thing is sweet. That mic is sweet. That John is sweet. pass me that John right there. That's Philly lingo. Mm.
I didn't even know that was like regional.
It's a regional thing, Philly.
Oh, cool.
Anyways, so we pull up to this red light and he pulls up next to me. And I look over, I see who it is, and he's in this Ford Probe. And he revs his engine. And he was souping it up and everything. And I didn't have a pseudo car. Nope. I just had normal Nissan Sentra. And I was like, well, I got something he doesn't have. Cojones. And I was like, buckle up, Jack.
Yeah.
and the light turns green and he takes off and I floor it. And he goes faster than me
at first. Yeah.
But he lays off. I didn't lay off, and I was going at least 100 miles an hour in that car, going down 61.
And that car didn't last long.
Did you have problems with that car afterwards, Dad?
I wonder.
Oh, man.
Oh, man. And, you know, I'm thinking, was it the Nissan or was it the Intrepid?
No, it was the Nissan.
Okay, because I did something else with the Intrepid then, too.
not a surprise.
I never crashed it, though. I didn't crash the Intrepid. Okay, so I remember I was, I think I was leaving a friend's house or something like that, and I was turning out on the 61, and I had the Intrepid with the 3.5 in it.
Mm-hmm.
And you really liked that car.
Mm-hmm.
It had a lot of get up on it.
Yep, it did.
And I pull out, and I slam it on the fuel, and it just takes off, and woof, and I'm flying, and again flooring it, trying to get it to go fast, and I'm coming up on vehicles, and I hit the brakes, but because you're going so fast, timing's different, you know, and I didn't understand that. I was new at driving, and I almost rear-ended somebody on the highway because I was going so fast I didn't have time to brake. In time.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, it was crazy.
Was that the silver or the blue?
Silver one. Okay. Silver one.
Because I know the blue one was the first one, the silver one was the next one. Yeah. That sucker was.
What was your second accident?
This one cost me some. This one was sucky.
It's not the bad one, right?
No, I was in college for this one and I was not in my car. I was in a friend's car. And I didn't even, you know, things are different in different states driving. And the way that the turn lane was set up, you had to get over like a couple blocks back. It was a solid white line, and it would have helped if I looked in the mirror a little bit clearer and turned my head to look to see if somebody was there. But I just went with it because I didn't see anybody in the mirror, and I just kind of like sideswiped the guy. I barely did anything to his car. Nothing was going on, but it was the person's car that I borrowed. that I damaged, that the mirror was knocked off, dented a fender. And I was like, you idiot. But then like 2 minutes from leaving the college, that's when I hit this person. I was like, you idiot. You idiot. Oh, man.
Yeah. I got nothing.
Okay. I got another one. I got another story for you before we get to yours, Jack. So I'm in college and I was borrowing Massey's neon, Dodge Neon. And he had an old one and that thing had some get up on it. And then he bought a brand new one and that thing had some get up on it. And well, for four banger, for a kid who doesn't know anything about cars, right? And so he lets me borrow his car and we were doing something at the school and I had kids in the car with me and we were driving somewhere around here, Philadelphia area. And I'm stupid and I'm trying to impress people, probably girls in the car. And
surprised.
I knew this car had some hit on it. Like you hit that gas and it moves. But I hit it when it was just me in the car and not, a full car. And so I was coming up on traffic and around here's a lot of traffic and I didn't want to sit in the traffic and there was cars coming the other way. And I was like, I got to get around these people. So I went on the bridge of the road, the right side of the road, the part that's not really traffic driven. And I floored it and I'm past those cars and I was like, adrenaline rush. And everything turned out great. Everything turned out great. I impressed people probably or scared them or made them hate me. I don't know. So I did that. And when I did that, it didn't go as planned in my mind in the sense that like, I was like, oh, I should have passed this car by now, but I still made it, Now, fast forward to me having the 77 Pontiac Grand Prix.
Ah, oh, that car.
The boat.
Mm. Oh,
yeah.
My gosh.
So I have that car now. And I decided to do the same thing on 113 in Exton. I decided to do that unnecessarily. I could have gone around the tractor trailer, not a car, tractor trailer. I could have gone around the tractor trailer just at the other side of the road. There was no traffic. But I decided to be cool guy Tony. Yeah, exactly. Cool guy Tony. And I go on the bridge of the road with that car, trying to pass a tractor trailer. And the bridge of the road narrows down there to nothing.
Ooh. Huh. Oh my gosh, dude. It's not an easy car to slim down.
I'm going and I see what's happening. And I'm like, it's like everything's happening at one time. And it's like all of a sudden you become a mathematician in your head. You're like, 5 + 2 = 3 and 5. You're like, and everything's going off in your head. You're like trying to do the math. I know 5 + 2 = 3, but that was the point. Like it was like I was doing all this crazy quantum physics math in my brain as to how fast I'm going and accelerating with the truck that I'm starting to pass a little bit to the fact that the road's narrowing down and will I get to the in front of that truck before that I lose road to, and I just made it. And after that, I swore off doing that. I was never going to do that
again.
That's
probably a good call.
Smart move.
Yeah. I mean, the stupid things you do when you're young and you feel invincible. The idea of dying, it's like, I got my whole life ahead of me. I've done crazy things before and nothing's ever harmed me, And you just do stupid stuff. I'm sure I could think of more, but go ahead and tell us your grand story of that last one. That last one, dude.
The funny thing is, I forgot. I didn't technically. It wasn't an accident. It was an accident, but I had two little one fender bender before this big accident in the same car, and I should have. It should have been some foreshadowing on the first one to tell me, hey, maybe don't be so dumb with this one because something isn't working here. The first little fender bender was a little bit of rain. I wanted to do, you're 19, you want to do a little bit of drifting. So,
Hold on a second. Before you go any further, tell them the kind of car you had.
Oh, well, this was a pretty sweet, Nissan Spec V. So it's the sport version of a Sentra, but it's a six speed. Thank you. Yeah. 6-speed, 2.5.
Where'd you get that car?
Yeah. It sounds like, Dad, you're the competent nominator here. All these stupid things we're doing in cars, you're giving to us.
Yeah, you gotta
where,
stop.
Where did Tony take that Grand Prix? Where'd you get that Grand Prix?
Yeah.
That Grand Prix from? Mm?
Yeah, you. Mm-hmm. You. Mm-hmm. All of them.
Yeah.
Oh, so what does that
Mom's
tell you?
Car.
What does that tell you? Stop driving.
Stop giving.
Stop driving.
Stop letting your kids drive. That's what it means.
Don't be so nice with your cars. Don't ever let us drive them.
Show a little discretion.
Yeah. So
don't give the kids the keys.
So that little fender bender, I was trying to drift around a corner, and I overcorrected because it was like one of the first times I was drifting, and I say one of the first times because there may have been one or two other times before that. But this was on the road, and it's a back road, so nobody's there. But I overcorrected and went right into the little wall of dirt. Let's just call it a wall of dirt, a little hill. And I definitely dented the fender, but I was going fast enough to realize that if I would have thought about it, the airbags did not deploy at all. And considering it was an aftermarket grill on the front, I should have thought, hey, maybe they never connected the airbags again after putting on this aftermarket grill, which is 100% leading into and foreshadowing the stupid accident that I had that many people like to make fun of me for, considering...
Not make fun of, just...
No, make fun of.
Hassle, yeah.
Some of my friends out there think that it's the funniest thing that I ran into this
thing. Oh, you think I'm a friend? That's so cute.
Well, no, not you. So, this other accident, and the third and final actual accident, I was late for work.
As usual.
And I was driving a little bit too fast. Let's just say an average of maybe 25 miles over the speed limit.
On 662.
On a back road.
Back road, windy back road.
Really windy.
So, yeah.
Very windy.
So, and I was going over the crest of a hill, which obviously you should never take that as at a speed in which you can't slow down within a certain amount of time. I was, considering there's a farm right there as well, it was dumb for me to be going that fast. And you don't think about it when you're late for work and you know that you're going to be, you know, pushing back certain appointments and everything. So I was driving probably, you know, 25 over the speed limit. And once I come over the crest of the hill, there just so happens that at that exact moment, there's a tractor, not a tractor trailer.
A farm tractor
pulling out onto the road to cross traffic. And I don't know what he was thinking, because let me get this out, okay? I don't know what he was thinking, because there were people coming in the other direction.
Mm-hmm.
So there were two cars coming the other direction, and I was thinking, well, I could at least have swerved, so this guy is in my way, and what am I supposed to do now? Now, also,
I don't know what he was thinking.
You heard it too, huh?
Wow.
It's this guy. He thinks that he owns the road. It's not me.
He does.
So he probably... anyway, obviously I'm joking about that. But the real issue was that there were people coming the other direction. And on top of that, at 19 and not being smart with your money, I did not have good tires. So I had nearly bald tires, and you can't do anything at that point. I just, literally without trying to swerve or hit anything else or go into his barn, I just slammed on my brakes. I did everything I could to not hit him as hard as possible. And when I hit him, I ended up going over my steering wheel and hitting my head off the windshield.
Jeez.
And not even noticing that I did that either. It was one of those things where afterwards you see the crack in the windshield, the cut on my chin, and I kind of was like at a loss for everything, because when I stopped, I could not believe that I had hit this guy. And he just sat there on the tractor. I hit his tire. He was totally fine. I was like, what did I just do? These people passed by, and I look at this guy, and I'm like, you know, are you okay? He's like, no, I'm fine. Are you okay? And I'm like, yeah, I'm fine. My car's just wrecked. And not even a couple minutes later, he says to me, hey, I pulled it over into one spot, and he asked me to pull it over to another spot. So I turn on this car, and it just starts up like a freaking beaut. I could not believe this. And I'm like, this was the nicest car I had ever, like, I mean, it was awesome, especially for a young guy. And I'm like, I wrecked this freaking car. I don't have the money to fix it. It's got to be totaled. I have to get rid of this because I just cannot afford to fix it.
And now I got to call Dad.
Exactly. I call Dad and he comes out. He's like, you idiot. You got to get this taken care of. Accidents happen, but you're stupid. Like, it was just you're so stupid. And I cannot believe I did not. Like, you know, you're just speeding because you're an idiot and young and out and definitely late for work. But
yeah.
Oh man, I couldn't believe that guy didn't even, nothing was wrong with him or his tractor. I slammed into him. I was going so fast. I couldn't believe nothing happened to it.
Yeah.
I was lucky.
The front of your car looked like one of those collapsible little toys that you get for your kid when you push the button on the top of the car, everything just kind of falls apart. That's what it looked like.
I know.
I looked at the car. I was like, what the heck?
You had to be pissed. You were probably pissed off.
I had just come home from work. I just got done working in the morning. I just got home and I get a phone call. Hey, Dad.
Oh, my gosh.
Can you come get me? What do you mean, can I come get you? Where are you at? I'm on 662. I hit a tractor.
Oh, man.
I honestly can't believe the engine didn't get like moved at all. Everything was in the same spot. It's just the radiator was destroyed. Everything in the front.
It was total though, right?
Yeah. I mean, if I had money, if I had at least $2,000, we could have fixed it.
Oh, it would have been more than that. That car was toast. Yeah. The hood, the frame, it was bad.
The frame was probably bad
back
too.
Into the motor. Yeah. I slammed that.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow,
it would not have been worth it.
I don't know how I didn't get any worse, like more injuries. I have no idea what happened.
For. I mean, no matter how pissed you get, you're happy that your kid is not hurt seriously because you want to hurt them.
You want that to be your job.
That's your job.
Yeah. Get in the car. We're going home.
No, you were cool. I mean, you really didn't lose your cool. You didn't get mad at me. I mean, I was an adult. You were like, it was that disappointed father thing. I'm not mad at you. I'm just very disappointed. You're an idiot.
Yeah. And that was a nice car.
It was a nice car.
I mean, Tony never crashed a car like this. Hey, we got a phone call on the line. You want to take a call?
Yeah.
All right. Caller 404. What's up, man?
Hey, guys. Not much. Enjoying the show. Thanks a lot for doing the live show.
For sure, man. So what's your name?
This is David from Atlanta.
Ah, David, you were on my show. You were on the confessionals, weren't you, at one time?
Yeah, I've been on there a couple times.
And I know you were a patron at one time, too, for that show. My other show.
Yeah.
So, dude, how you doing, man?
I'm doing awesome. Doing awesome. I had a story I wanted to tell you guys. Talking about driving in Minnesota reminded me. I was about 13 years old. And my dad and my mom are in the car driving from the Minneapolis area down I-35 to Northfield, Minnesota to visit my brother in college. And we're driving along. It's, you know, it's wintertime, very cold, obviously, because it's Minnesota. But Minnesota is just so used to ice and snow that people just drive like crazy on the interstate. And all of a sudden, we hit a patch of ice and, you know, just not expecting it. It was real foggy and my dad didn't see what was going on. And I'm in the back seat and all I see is like, we're coming up on rigs and stuff. And my dad swerves in this, median. It's like a grass median. We go up on the northbound lanes of I-35 and I look up and I see headlights. And I'm like, oh, gosh, we're going to die, you know?
Yeah.
And my dad swung it back over into the median and stopped about 3 feet before we hit a rig on the other side of the road. My dad turns to my mom, turns to me and says, well, that was close. And just hits the gas and we drive right up on the interstate. But I thought I was definitely going to die.
Oh, yeah.
And one other story I wanted to share with you guys was, I live in Atlanta now, and I think it was like 2013, 14, somewhere in there. We had what was called snowpocalypse here in Atlanta. And we get snow down here maybe once, twice a year, and it hardly ever sticks. And anyhow, so it was a total bomb job by the weather, because they told us, oh, don't worry about it. It's, you know, might get an inch and it'll melt. And 1 o'clock comes around and, you know, it's like mass evacuation from all the places where people are working from. Get on the road. It took me about 9.5 hours to make what would normally be a 45-minute drive. And to tell you how bad it was, the MARTA transit buses on the highway were driving down the wrong side of the road. People were getting out. I thought it was like, you know, people were going to start rioting just like they're doing in some of the other places right now, because they were yelling at each other, you get out of the way, you're on the wrong side of the street. Anyhow, after that day, I vowed never, ever not to travel in my car without a gun again. Because it was that bad. Anyways, well, I will hang up. Appreciate you taking my call. Keep up the good work. And hopefully you guys get some more calls.
Yeah, definitely. Hey, thanks for calling. It was really cool talking with you.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Thanks for calling.
Absolutely, guys. Yeah, thanks.
See you. Yeah, that's funny. I mean, like, he mentioned about the riots, and I don't know. What, you guys hear anything about riots? I haven't heard anything about riots.
Nowadays. No.
Yeah, haven't heard
it. What's going on?
Jack, have you heard anything about riots?
What's a riot?
I stay off Facebook.
I don't know. Never heard of them. Riots. Huh. In America?
It never happened.
Interesting. Usually doesn't happen in America.
No.
You usually see it on TV and stuff, but he was talking like it's happening here. Riots.
I have to look that word up.
Yeah, Google it.
We're such jerks.
No, listen, David is a good guy of the show, yeah, and stuff. I mean,
cool. It's cool to hear from him.
He's,
you mean from your other show?
Yeah, he's an OG. He's an OG listener.
What does that mean?
I don't know. That's what people say, though.
Original gangster.
Yeah, but he's not a gangster. So he's a OTC.
OG. They just say OG member. He's an OC. Stuff like that.
He's an OC. Original confessor.
Oh,
I should have asked him what episode he was in. What episode he was on? I think it was in the early days of the show.
That's cool.
Within the first 100.
Yeah, it's really cool to hear from him.
But yeah, he's a good guy. But so, Jack, you have that accident. We're talking accidents today,
right?
That was had to be scary.
Well, yeah, dude. Yeah.
Okay. And I don't know the answer to this question, but I'm going to turn my head to the left, Dad.
Yes.
Have you ever had a crazy accident?
Yes.
Talk to me.
I don't know. Is it safe? Is this a safe space?
This is a safe space.
Right.
It's just you and your sons talking. Nobody's listening.
This is...
And David.
This is 1985.
Sounds like the beginning of a song.
It does, doesn't it? Is this Bowling for Soup? 19.
I was wow. Just born.
Yeah. This is 1985. I was working at Kmart. It's wintertime. I had my dad's car, 1974 Ford Gran Torino, four door, big car. Gran Torino. Nice car. It was really nice. It was fun to drive. It was huge.
Yeah.
It was wintertime. I was playing around. Yeah, I did it too. That's why I couldn't, you know, as much as I want to beat on you guys about doing dumb stuff, show me a guy who got his license in 2016 and didn't do something dumb. You know, I'm on a back road. I'm screwing around. I was coming home from work. It was, you know, Kmart closed at like 9:30, so it's maybe 10 o'clock. And I'm on a two-lane road called Ilix Mill Road. And I hit the gas, you know. And I'm like, this, you know, I'm see how fast I can go. And I hit an ice patch. And that car started to spin.
Oh, no.
And it was, you know, of course, back then it was rear-wheel drive. Everything was rear-wheel drive back then. And this car started to slide and spin. And I wound up in between a telephone pole and a mailbox.
Jeez.
And I didn't hit either one of them.
Are you serious?
I am serious. I did not hit either one.
Wow.
I sat there like for 10 minutes just like, holy crap. I'm not dead. And I don't have to say anything to Dad.
Oh, man.
That's great.
Jeez.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I never did anything really crazy. I mean, I was actually respectful of my dad's stuff, you know, as I look at both of you. But no, it was, yeah, I mean, like every kid, you know.
Yeah.
It's the same. The story is the same. That's why you can't, as mad as you want to get, because you know the dangers that there are. As an adult, you look back and now you're looking at your own kids doing the dumb stuff you did. And you're like, I don't want my kids to die. You know, yep. So you get irritated. But at the same time, you're like, eh, I can't be too irritated. And that's a couple of guys being guys doing dumb stuff. And, you know, hey, it happens.
Ish happens.
It yeah. does. It does.
Jeez. I can imagine there. I see. It's times like these that I wish Pappy was still here.
Yeah.
Because
he didn't know that one.
Well,
I never told anybody that.
Yeah,
I
mean, never
that
did.
Was I was not telling
this is
anybody.
Spilling the beans to us and to your siblings right
yes,
now.
So I never said
Jeez,
anything.
You carried
to
that this long?
Oh yeah. I never said anything to anybody.
But I wish he was still here because he was so good at telling stories and
he was.
Yeah.
It didn't matter what we were talking about. He had a story to tell.
Yeah.
He could always contribute to the conversation. And I really think that he's the reason why we the three of us can do this.
Yeah.
Like, he's your dad. You learned from him. I learned it from you. Jack learned it from you. Like, we learned how to just talk and shoot it. Yep. Like, we know everything about each other pretty much, you know, right. But we can still sit down.
Except for that Gran Torino
story.
Except
for that, right?
I mean, well, you know,
apparently
Dad
can, every once in a while, can pull a magic nugget out of his yeah. rear end and say, look, ta-da, ta-da.
Ta-da.
So, but I mean, like, we can sit here and talk for hours to each other and never have a dull moment.
Yep.
And I think we got that from Pappy. I just miss him a lot. When you were telling me that story, it reminded me of a story he told me about when he had an accident with his dad's car and had to go home. I forget all the details, but do you remember the details?
That's when he was drinking and driving.
No.
There's the nugget. We've got two nuggets right now.
This show is gold.
Yeah.
Talk to me.
Yeah. When I think he had just gotten divorced from his first wife. And he had been out drinking. He lived in a small town. His dad knew everybody, and everybody knew his dad. And because everybody knew his dad, everybody knew him.
Oh.
And when the cops came to the scene,
oh, man.
You know, it was, well, this is, you know, George's son. Yeah, we'll just take him home. We're not going to, you know, charge him right. This is like 1950s.
Yeah.
You know, so they took him home. And he had to tell his dad, you know, yeah, he was drinking and, you know, he drove and he crashed his dad's car and, you know, and his dad didn't really give him a hard time. I think he understood he was going through a tough time, you know. His dad was really kind of cool that way. His dad was a lot more laid back. And so, yeah, but he had his little own drinking and driving thing going on. At that time. Yeah,
I don't know if this 50s. Is the same story or not. I don't think it is. But I remember Pappy telling a story of how he had an accident with his dad's car when he was on leave or something, because he was in the Navy at one time. And he was home from the military. And I think he was living with his parents still. Mm-hmm. And he had an accident with the car. And he goes home. It's middle of the night. He walks into his dad's bedroom. He wakes up his dad, that dreaded conversation.
Right.
And he says, Dad, I had an accident with your car. And he said, my car? It's your car now.
Yeah, I remember that story too.
I was like, I wish I would have met that guy too, because that's gold. Like, there's a certain level of swagger that comes with somebody who can be woken up in the middle of their sleep, middle of the night, and be given the news of, I crashed your car. And the line isn't, you MF-er, you son of a, where is it? How bad is it? No, the line is, my car. It's your car now. Yeah. Turn the light out on your way out.
You know? That's how his dad was.
Like, that is some serious,
his dad was very matter of fact.
Cool, smooth, you can't, unwavering, you can't waver.
You don't shake, he doesn't
There's
shake.
No, unshakeable.
He's unshakeable.
It's just like, pass a cigar, I'm cool, man. Yeah. Like, you ain't gonna mess with me.
Died when he was 59.
Jeez.
Yeah.
From what? So,
heart attacks.
Really?
Three of them, yeah.
Wow. Three heart attacks?
Yeah.
Holy cow. Yeah.
Was he like heavy? Like what happened? Like, I mean, was it like something that was just sudden, or was it like, hey, he's been living a pretty reckless lifestyle?
It was building up, but I mean, this is the '50s, you know, forties and fifties. He was in World War I. He was a machine gun mechanic.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. He worked on machine guns for, I think the Navy, on the airplanes.
Wow.
And, he was out in San Diego. And then, of course, you know, after that, it's, you know, life happens. He got married, he had a kid. Well, he had a kid before he went into service, but, you know, then he comes home and,
dang,
you know, gets a job and is working. And, it's just, you know, this is the 50s, so we weren't really paying attention to cholesterol or things like that. And yeah, at that time, we really weren't understanding how it all worked. So anyway, you know, 59, he was dead. So I knew him. I was 2 years old when he died. So I never really got to know him. You know, it was just one of those things that, which is, you know, I would have loved to have gotten to know him. But that's the kind of guy he was. He was just that kind of laid back, very matter of fact. Nope. It's not my car. What do you mean my car? Your car, dude.
That's crazy.
How it was, isn't it?
That's crazy.
Nuts. Yeah.
That's crazy. Because I can't imagine reacting that. I can't imagine even thinking to be that smooth in that moment to react that way. Like if Ben, you know, 15 years or whatever it is, comes home and says something like that, I can't imagine my reaction would be, it's your car. You figure it out. Like, yeah, I'd be like,
exactly,
bro, what? You know? I know you're 20, but I'm going to kick your rear end like you're five, you know?
Exactly.
Like,
yes.
Holy crap.
But yeah, you know, that's the beauty of it, being able to sit and talk about these things. And actually, it's not just about being able to sit and talk, but it's about being able to sit and talk to each other and get along well enough to sit and talk in the same room.
Yeah.
You know, there's something that goes, you know, a long way.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a good thing.
Yeah, it's something that, I mean, we've been, I feel like it's like a marathon race. Like, we've been gearing up for this our entire lives.
Yeah.
I mean, when I started podcasting, I was like, I know how to talk to people. I know how to have a conversation with people, and I know how to produce audio. So I think I might be pretty good at this. And then when I got it down and everything, and I started thinking about this show, you know, in the truck and all that stuff, I was like, you know, at first I was going to do it by myself. And then I was like, you know, and I think I brought the idea of you doing Hammer Lane with me up, and you turned it down a lot.
Yep.
And I'm like, Dad, you would be great at podcasting. And no. I'm like, Dad, the only reason why I know how to talk to people like I do is because I learned it from you. Like, I knew you'd be good at podcasting. And eventually, well, I don't know how the tables turned and stuff, but recently, like, it was late last year, I brought it up again. You're like, all right, let's do it. And I'm like, I felt like I was a dog chasing a car and finally caught it. I was like, now what? You
know? Well, now I got to do it.
Now I got to do it.
What the heck? Keep saying no. Now we got to go.
But I'll tell you, people comment and stuff, and they say that they really like you on the show.
Oh,
they love they say you have a voice for radio, not a face.
I have a face for radio.
Yeah, you do have a face for radio. Butchered that one.
Thanks.
But
I guess your mom's blind.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's good.
But I mean, a lot of people really enjoy having you on the show, and they think that, you know, they say it was a nice touch, you coming, me having you on the show. And I'm like,
oh, that's really cool.
If you didn't agree to come on the show, there would be no show, because I don't think I would be interested in doing this show. I don't think I'd be interested in doing this show by myself. And I tried it. I did that. The very first episode we did, that interview was me by myself. And it was just like, it wasn't interesting to me, because I already do that with the confessionals.
Right.
And so the idea of doing what I do with my other show, again, only with trucking and transportation, I was like,
just kind of like doing more of the same.
Yeah. It's just like I'm bringing on more work, but no, there's no real change of pace. This is like, honestly, having somebody in studio with you, sitting across from you to talk to them, the energy is so much different. So much different. Like, I feel more alive with having somebody else here. And now Jack is in here too. It's like, I know this is probably getting long. How long have we been going?
I know.
Let me see here.
It's probably an hour and 10 minutes.
Hour and 20 minutes.
Ooh.
But I know we were recording like 13 minutes of junk that may or may not make the
probably
show.
Probably not make the show.
That's Dad saying, hope. Producer Jack, probably not make the show, right? It probably won't, because I think Jack was singing.
Yeah. So,
yeah, that's not making the show.
Unless I throw up a secret little upload. Anyways. I'm just really glad that this show did take off, as far as getting it off the ground and working with you, and even Jack doing producing the way he's been doing it. Like, I think he's been doing a really good job.
Oh, he's fantastic. It really is.
And we haven't got any complaints about production, which is great. It is. It's a good thing, Jack, because I mean, people, they'll let you know. But I want to kind of give people some kind of truck story, since this is Hammer Lane, right?
Can I also share a story then?
Yeah, go for it right now.
Okay. It's a shorter story. So for a summer, I worked in a diesel garage for a battery factory.
Where? Oh, Deca.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And I wasn't doing anything on the trucks or anything. I was in the parts department. So I was the parts picker, the guy who did all the little odds and ends things. So, I mean, you know, you learn forklift and stuff like that to be able to unload trucks and stuff for certain things that were shipped to us. And so I had, you know, I would run around and do all that kind of stuff. But the one time, a guy who was a technician, been there for a while, asked me if I could help him lower a fifth wheel from a forklift.
Oh, this is good.
I gotta admit, I had no idea what in the world he was talking about.
What's a fifth wheel? Like, Jack goes out to his car. He's like, one,
there's 18 two, wheels. What are you talking about? A fifth?
Talking about number the tire number five? You the, number them?
Do you mean the spare tire?
And then he's like, kingpin. I'm like, what's the pin for? Where is it? Are we bowling?
Are we dealing drugs?
I don't see. Is there a strike somewhere? This is not a bowling alley. So. I was like, yeah, absolutely, man. I was going to do anything, you know, whatever they needed me to do, I'd do it. So he's lowering the fifth wheel down, and, you know, we're kind of like trying to like wiggle it just so that we can move it a little bit. He gets everything out of the way. It's just, you know, he's like, he's next to me holding it up with me, and he goes to me, hey, we're going to lower this a little bit, and then we're going to let it down. But what I didn't know that meant was we're going to drop it and let it out of our hands. So I ended up holding on to it after he let go. And, you know, you truckers would know a fifth wheel is not light.
Nope.
And it definitely had a lot of weight to it and momentum, and took my whole body with it as I was holding on to it. I didn't let go at all. And it slammed my finger in between the fifth wheel and the floor.
The concrete floor.
The concrete
there
floor.
There you go.
Oh, and man.
I ended up pulling my hand out real quick as it bounced back up off my hand. And I looked at my hand. I was like, how is this not broken off?
Oh, my gosh.
This guy's like all apologetic. I'm like, don't worry about it. I'm like, you didn't know that I didn't know what you meant. It's not, you know, miscommunication. It's not your fault. And I go back into the parts department. I'm just like, this hurts so bad. And I didn't break my fingers or anything. I could not believe that. But
that is crazy.
What ended up happening, and for me, what is worse is what happened, is I got a blood blister on my finger, and I'm very queasy. So so all the guys in the shop want me to pop this thing. They're sharpening up paper clips and burning them. And like, here, it's sterilized. Poke it. And I'm like, I'm ready to pass out.
That's a mechanic for you.
Because they're really just like, is. Pop it. I want to see it bleed. I'm like, no.
I want to see it bleed. It's like a chick with a pimple. I want to see it pop.
I was about to pass out. I was white as a sheet, and I was ready to pass out from them telling me to pop it. And I'm like, I'm just letting it go. But that was a very interesting situation. I don't know how I didn't break my finger, and now I know what a fifth wheel is. So, you know, it all is good. I learned something.
You learned something.
and the funny part, and a little, like, you know, the good thing too is this guy was so apologetic. He was, you know, he didn't want me to feel like he, you know, did it to me on purpose. And, you know, I mean, I still talk to the guy today. He's a nice guy, but it was just I felt like an idiot, like a dunce. Like, I'm sitting in the parts room with a dunce cap on, all these guys walking by, these old Dutchies are laughing at me like, you dummy, you dumb little boy. I'm like, I don't even know what a truck sounds like.
You don't know what you're doing now, do you?
So
what's that fifth wheel wants?
Oh man, it was funny.
That's funny. And you know, you mentioned the Pennsylvania Dutch guys. I can only imagine what, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Especially this one guy who is like, you know, an old Dutch guy. So he's like walking around and, you know, he's a little cranky, but he looked at that and he's like, you idiot. I was like, what am I supposed to do? I didn't know this.
When somebody says let go,
let go.
Oh man.
Let go. No, no, I got it. I really got it. No, let go. No, I got it. It's okay. I got it. Ah!
No. Well, that was the thing. It wasn't like he said let go. We were going to let it down. That's why I was like, what does that mean? Let it down? Hold on.
Ta-da.
People don't even understand the ta-da. That's an inside joke between you and me.
It's totally inside.
Oh, that's great.
That's grand.
Yo, so...
You know what, dude? I haven't slept since 6 o'clock yesterday.
That's right.
Now what, 9 o'clock, 9:30?
That's right. You came down here without sleeping.
Ta-da!
He's got the case of the giggles because he said he slept in forever.
Man.
Oh, man. Let me tell some stories here real quick. I've told stories enough, but let me tell some more. And then we'll wrap this up. So should I start off with the parking lot or the safety call? You guys tell me.
Parking lot.
Parking lot. Okay. So like 2 weeks ago, I was doing somebody else's route. And again, I probably said on the show before, it makes me grumpy. It just does. Like, and this wasn't even that bad. A lot of times if I'm doing somebody else's route, I'm doing like Concha Hawkins, Philadelphia. And I'm like, I picked the town furthest from Philly for a reason, you know? But I'm actually going even further away from Philly in this one where I'm going towards Morgantown. And I'm on 23 and I have a delivery to a tile shop. Now, it's Elberson, small town.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not a big factory. This place has like just a normal building with a storefront. And in the back, they have like this big red barn where they take their deliveries.
Mm-hmm.
And I've never been to this place before. And I pull into the park. I pull off the road into the parking lot. As soon as I pull into the parking lot, I see that I have the business on the right side, and on the left side is a church, and they share a parking lot. And it looks like the church just relayed their pavement. You see where this is going?
Yeah,
I just gave the whole story away. Yep,
it's over.
Story over. Good night, folks.
That was fun.
And so I pull into the parking lot, and I try to stay on the business side. Because theirs wasn't fully, like, wasn't done like, fresh, you know? And I thought, okay, if I stay out to the right side, and because I figured I'd have to spin around because I'm looking at the situation, I'm like, okay, they're probably doing deliveries at this barn. They'll come up with a forklift. So I stayed to the right, and I start spinning my trailer so I get the back end towards the barn and my front end's facing the street that I came off of. And it's not a science, you know, like you try to keep the wheels from the of the trailer in a certain spot, but you know, it's not perfect. And I got on the church parking lot a little bit and I tore up a little bit and I saw it as I was doing it. It's like, oh, that's not that bad. You know, I figured I'd still, you know, get information and report it and all that, but I was right. Like, that's not that big of a deal. It's not that bad. And so I get out of the truck. Now my truck's facing the back or the front, the street, and my back's facing the barn that's down a hill. And I go and I walk down to the barn. And I said, hey, man, I got a delivery for you. You know who I talk to? That's my line. I don't ever assume that the person I'm talking to is the receiver because they tend to get offended sometimes. If you're not right. The receiver, especially if you consider yourself above the receiver and you say, hey, are you the receiver? No. It's like, oh, you know, I wasn't trying to be offensive here. Okay. So now I just say, even if it's glaringly obvious, you're the only one here, you're missing a few teeth. Like, you know,
like, nice.
You know, but I was like, hey man, do you know who the receiver is? Me. Great. So I said, I got a delivery for you. He's like, oh, we need the trailer down here because we can't drive up this hill with the forklift that we have. Okay, now it's interesting,
right?
Because I was like, so I'm in a bad position. Because what I had to do is you have to nose down the hill and pull up this gravel driveway they have made to back up to the spot they need you to unload at. So it meant I had to turn my trailer around again in this parking lot, and when I'm like, okay. He said it. And so I'm like, okay, maybe if I try to maneuver my trailer a certain way, I can do this. And no. I dug up that parking lot real good the second time around. Yeah. Real good. I mean, real good. And so I go and I do the delivery, and I'm talking to the lady inside of the business, and I said, I would like to have the church's number two, because it where my wheels dug up.
Right.
It was literally on the border.
Right on the line.
Right on the line. Like, it could go either way. It was like a coin flip, you know? And so I got their information and stuff. And it was interesting because she was very flustered. Very flustered. Like, not like... mad at me, mm-hmm. but like, oh my gosh, like, what do we do? This is new. You know, like very jittery.
Right.
And I was real, like, just relaxed, you know, whatever, matter of fact. And she mentioned something about like how she's like, you're really calm about this. And I was like, it's not that big of a deal. I said to her, you know, I mean, this kind of stuff, it happens. I mean, you know, it's part of the cost of doing business. And, you know, we have trailers that sometimes come back at the end of the day with no roof on them, and so when all things considered, this isn't that bad, you know. Like, I didn't hit anybody, I didn't hit anything, I didn't hit anybody's vehicles, nothing like that. It's just
exactly
my tires were where they were supposed to be on the pavement, just so happened to be bad pavement,
right?
And so, you know, it is what it is. Now, I'd say about a month or two ago, we had really bad, this is before the tropical storm came through. We had a really bad storm system come through. And it was really weird too. So it was one of those storm systems where you can actually see in the sky, where you have light in the sky and dark in the sky. But this was weird because it was constant. Sky was split in half. It was so weird. Like, I was driving for 30, 40 minutes and the sky was just split in half. It was light and dark. Dark side was raining, but now the light side was raining hard too. The rain was going sideways. It's like, I've never seen a storm like this. This was weird. And so I'm kind of like flabbergasted. I was like, taken back. I was like, wow, this is really weird. And I'm driving in it and I'm heading down Trooper Road in Norristown, and I'm driving. And I have good following distance, you know, like I'm real big on that. And I think I'm big on it because of what you said to me, probably when I was learning how to drive, to always stop where you can see the tires on their tires on the ground.
Yep.
And so it always gives you that gap, right? And, you know, when you're doing city driving and stuff, if you do that, that means people can think they can zigzag in front of you.
Squeeze in,
right? But I do that out of habit. Mm-hmm. But in order to do that, you always have good driving distance anyways. And so... the rain was coming down hard. Nobody was driving fast. It was probably going like 25 miles an hour. And I'm really, really struggling with this storm, though. I'm looking and I'm like, I've never seen a storm like this. And I have a car in front of me. This car that was in front of me was probably about, I don't know, 50 yards ahead of me. It was a good distance ahead of me. And I'm looking at the sky and I'm like, this is incredible. I'm just like really taken back by it. And I'm looking at the sky and I'm looking at the sky and I forgot to look down. and I looked down and that car that was really far ahead of me, I had good safe distance, was right there. And I slammed my brakes and I slammed the brakes and I turned my wheels hard to the right. And I'm like, I literally had a choice, their bumper or this fire hydrant. I chose the fire hydrant, right? But I didn't hit the fire hydrant. This is kind of like your story, where like you didn't between one and the other, right?
Right.
And because they had stopped to make a left-hand turn or something like that. And I just was in my own world looking at the sky because I was like, wow, this is crazy. And things happen that fast. And so I didn't hit the fire hydrant. I stopped in time, even in time where I wouldn't even hit the car to begin with. But it set off the sudden deceleration in the truck. It shoots video of the road 15 seconds before and after.
Right.
And safety gets it. Next day I go into work. Boss comes over to me and says, safety wants you to call him. I'm like, oh, I know what this is about. And so I called safety. And I talked to him, the head safety guy, and he's like, so what happened? And I told him exactly what I told you. Mm-hmm. I said, in all honesty, I was taken back by this storm that I was driving in, and I was trying to figure out what this storm was going to be doing, and I've never seen it before in my entire life, and I just was looking at the sky in front of me too long. Like, I just lost track of, you know, time, right, or whatever. You know, it's just like, it's one of those things where I just zoned out. And he said that actually made sense because he said, I was watching the video and you had great following distance. And he said, and then the person slowed down. They took the turn, put the turn signal on. They stopped, and you weren't hitting your brakes. And so he said, I could tell you were distracted by something, and now I know what. And he said, you know, and he just gave me the safety guy spiel, which is, you know, you got to be careful, you got to be safe. But he really wasn't upset, and I thought he'd be upset about that and stuff. But I guess given what he does, that's nothing compared to what he hears as explanations from drivers, you know.
Sure.
You know, like I was doing my job. I was just like, I was stunned by what I was seeing with the storm. Like, it was really, for me, I was like, this is crazy. Like, the rain was going sideways, the sky was split in half, the light side was starting to rain now sideways. I was like, what is going on here? Like, I was like, this God, is that you? You know? Like, oh, it was just crazy. But yeah, that was some of my little recent stories and stuff. It's life, though. It's interesting. Driving is interesting for a living. Jack, you kind of drive for a living, too, with what you do. I mean, you're pest control, but you drive from place to place, and you probably see some crazy stuff, too.
Yeah, I mean, if you're on the road for any amount of time, you see a bunch of stuff. We hear that. That's the common refrain every week. If you're on the road, you've seen something, no matter how long you've been driving. Yep. And yeah, you guys sound like that to me. But
we both sound like Yosemite Sam.
Yeah, me.
I have seen many near accidents. I've actually never seen anybody get in an accident. I haven't. Luckily, you know, and I haven't seen anybody, you know, have anything crazy. No planes crossing in the road in front of me. Yeah, a callback there. Yeah,
that is crazy.
You know, nothing like that. But you know, I mean, I drive down closer to where you're at too, you know, a few times a month at least, and you know, some of the things that happen, the closer you get to a bigger city, it's just insane. I mean, especially if you're on like you know, sometimes I'm on the turnpike, and holy cow, man, people book it past you, and they decide that they're just gonna fly and weave in between people without you know turn signals, and I'm like, these people think that it's like that nothing's gonna happen to them, and it's like, I mean, obviously I did the same thing too. That's why we had the conversation beforehand.
I call the kettle black.
But still, I mean, it's just at that point you're putting a lot of people's lives at risk by doing that. But no, luckily I actually haven't seen anything crazy. I hit a deer once.
Who hasn't?
Yeah. I mean, that's pretty much it. That's all I got, you know?
Give me the juicy stuff, Jack. Go back to when you hit a tractor with your Nissan Sentra.
Yeah, all the bad things have happened in cars. I do well in trucks. I did well in a U-Haul.
I got one story here for the deer, now that you brought the deer thing up. And then we'll wrap this piece up. The 77 Pontiac Grand Prix.
Yeah.
I hit a deer
with
it.
Oh my gosh, dude.
Do you remember this story?
I do remember that.
On 662, I was coming back from Lindsay's house. It was late at night. It was dark out. I hit a deer and the thing was still alive. And the butt was up in the air. And
wow.
I went and found a big rock and I smashed its head.
That's a good thing to do, though.
I didn't know what else to do. I couldn't just let it live there and sit there and suffer. So I didn't have a gun or anything. So I did what only a country boy knew what to do.
That's the right thing to do.
I didn't have a knife on me, nothing. So,
what else are you gonna do? You got to do something about that.
It was messy.
It is messy. Yeah, it's a messy way to do it. Yeah.
And nothing happened to the car.
No, the car was fine. Yeah. Absolutely fine.
It's amazing what they used to build, isn't it?
And you hit a deer with that car too. I remember that
happening. That I do. We were all in the
90s house.
Yeah.
Were you in the back seat with that too?
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I thought so.
Nothing was wrong with that car. Nope.
Nailed it, pushed it. Got out, looked at the car. Not even a headlight was broke.
I know. I was like,
what
like,
the heck?
I remember that day. You're looking around and we're all like, what just happened? I mean, I was like 4 at that point, or maybe.
You were young.
Maybe a little bit older, but yeah, man, that thing was crazy.
Yeah.
Well, guys, thanks for hanging out with me. I think we're going to call the studio, when we're in here doing Hammer Lane stuff, we should call the studio the break room.
Yeah,
what do you think?
Cool. I like
that.
Yeah,
Jack? Yeah. You think that's cool?
Sure, yeah. Truck talk.
So, break room sessions.
Yeah, yeah. Thanks, everybody, for hanging out in the break room. Jack, bring in the music.
Family, family, family. I go to war with my family. Ups and downs. Wrong or right, this family. Yeah. They think that we crazy. They say that we crazy, can't handle it. Crazy. My back on the wall. Back. Who I'ma call my family? We different. We stick out.
Stick out.
Wig out.
Wig out.
Bug out.
Hey.
Pop out. Hop out.
Go.
Ball out.
Hey.
Show out.
I just a party. Let's not make a problem.
right, so you better think twice. You shouldn't mess with me. You don't wanna mess with me. Cause if you mess with me, you're messing with my family. You shouldn't mess with me. You don't wanna mess with me. Cause if you mess with me, you're messing with my family. Ay, 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 ay. You might think that we are all loco. Ay, ay, ay.
But what's with my family?
But this family back to the global.
We blown up.
You shouldn't mess with me.
You don't wanna mess with me.
Cause if you mess with me, you're messing
you'll mess
with
my family.
Family. You shouldn't mess with me.
You don't wanna mess with me. Cause if you mess with me, you're messing with my family. Oh.
They say we got problems, but we say it's cool. Family, family, I go to war with my family. Ups and downs, wrong or right, this family.
Aye, aye.